Hello, this is Wendy Bauer, reading to you today the second half of our reading from the Decatur Herald and Review for April 25th, 2016. We will begin with a list of the funerals for today, Monday, April 25th. They include David A. Grant, 67, of Decatur, at 11 a.m. in Calvert Funeral Home in Clinton. Shirley J. O'Brien, 84, of Decatur, at 11 a.m. in Brintlinger and Earl Funeral Homes, Decatur. And Charles E. Chuck Streety, Jr., 80, of Decatur, at 1 p.m. in Graceland Fairlawn Funeral Home. The funerals pending for Monday, April 25th, include Ada Burris, 60, of Decatur, who died Saturday, April 23rd, 2016. Arrangements by Walker Funeral Service and Chapel. Betty Hammond, 81, of Mount Zion, died Saturday, April 23rd, 2016. Arrangements by Graceland Fairlawn Funeral Home. Keith Huff, 84, of Decatur, died Saturday, April 23rd, 2016. Graceland Fairlawn Funeral Home. Wanda J. Myers, 87, of Maroa, died Saturday, April 23rd, 2016. Arrangements by Calvert Funeral Home in Maroa. Charles Eugene Thompson, 80, of Tucson, Arizona, formerly of Clinton, died Saturday, April 23rd, 2016. Arrangements will be made by Calvert Funeral Home in Clinton. And Roy Yarberry, 50, of Decatur, died Saturday, April 23rd, 2016. Arrangements by Walker Funeral Service and Chapel. And continuing with obituaries, Daryl A. Burris of Pena. Daryl A. Burris, 88, of Pena, died Saturday, April 23rd. Visitation will be Wednesday from 10 until 11 a.m. in Pena Christian Church. Masonic services will be Wednesday, April 27th, 2016, in Pena Christian Church at 11 a.m., followed by funeral services. Burial will be in Tower Hill Cemetery. Memorials may be made to the Pena Christian Church or Pena Community Hospital Foundation. Margaret May Fuller, Shelbyville. Margaret May Fuller, 97, of Shelbyville, passed away Saturday, April 23, 2016, at Shelby Memorial Hospital in Shelbyville. Visitation will be at 10 o'clock a.m., Tuesday, April 26, 2016, at Lockhart Green Funeral Home, Shelbyville, and graveside service will follow at 11 a.m. at Glenwood Cemetery. In lieu of flowers, memorials may be directed to First Christian Church or donor's choice. Charlene Faye Anderson, Decatur. Charlene Faye Anderson, 88, died April 20th, 2016 at St. John's Hospital. Visitation will be Monday, April 25th, 2016 from 4 to 6 p.m. at the Church of the Living God, Temple No. 1, Decatur. Funeral service will be at 11 a.m. on Tuesday, April 26, 2016, at Greater All Nations Church of God in Christ, Springfield, with visitation 1 hour before the service. Burial will be at Oak Ridge Cemetery in Springfield. Loretta Hines, 87, of Decatur. Loretta Hines, 87, of Decatur, died on Thursday, April 21st, 2016, in Manor Court of Clinton. Services to celebrate Loretta's life will be at 1:30 p.m. on Tuesday, April 26th, at Graceland Fairlawn Funeral Home, 2091 North Oakland Avenue, Decatur, Illinois, 62526. Visitation will be from 5 to 7 p.m. Monday, April 25th, 2016 at the funeral home. Burial will follow in Graceland Cemetery. Memorials are suggested to Second Church of God, 2670 East Division Street, Decatur, Illinois, 62526. Dorothy McLaughlin of Decatur. Dorothy McLaughlin, 97, of Springfield, Illinois, formerly of Decatur, died Thursday, April 21st, 2016, at St. John's Hospice in Springfield. Dorothy's family will meet friends from 10 to 11 a.m. Tuesday, April 26, 2016, at Curry Funeral Home in Pawnee. A graveside service will follow at 12:30 p.m. at Grace Lawn Cemetery in Decatur. John M. Moore, Decatur. John M. Moore, 69, of Decatur, Illinois, passed away on Thursday, April 21, 2016. In keeping with his wishes, cremation rites have been accorded. Memorial contributions may be directed to the Alzheimer Association. Daryl G. Morris, Arthur. Daryl G. Morris, 69, of Arthur, formerly of Sullivan, passed away at 12:12 p.m. Thursday, April 21, 2016, in his residence. Celebration of life services will be at 7 o'clock p.m. Tuesday in the Reed Funeral Home. Visitation will be from 5 to 7 p.m. on Tuesday. Burial will be at a later date. Memorials are suggested to the Moultrie County Relay for Life or to the St. Jude's Children's Hospital. Betty Lou Odell, Niantic. Betty Lou Odell, 83, of Niantic, Illinois, passed away at 10:36 p.m. Friday, April 22, 2016, in St. Mary's Hospital, Decatur. A graveside service to celebrate Betty's life will be held at 10 o'clock a.m. Wednesday, April 27, 2016, at Mount Zion Township Cemetery. The family will receive friends for visitation Tuesday evening from 5 to 7 p.m. at Dawson and Wyckoff Funeral Home, Mount Zion. Memorials may be made to Decatur and Macon County Animal Shelter Foundation. E. Lois Owens, Decatur. E. Lois Owens, 89, of Decatur, passed away on April 19, 2016, in Decatur Memorial Hospital. Memorial services will be on Friday, May 27, 2016, at 7 o'clock p.m. at Antioch Christian Church, 5409 U.S. 36, in Decatur. Visitation will be 1 hour before the service at the church. Nancy Ellen Sherman, Shelbyville. Nancy Ellen Sherman, 65, of Shelbyville, Illinois, passed away Friday afternoon, April 22, 2016. Funeral services will be held at 10:30 a.m. Saturday, April 30, 2016, in the First Church of the Nazarene, Shelbyville. Visitation will be from 6 to 8 p.m. on Friday, April 29, 2016, in Howe and Yaki Funeral Home, Shelbyville, Illinois. Casual attire is requested. Burial will be in Mount Zion Cemetery near Shelbyville, Illinois. Memorials may be given to St. Jude Children's Research Hospital or the Wounded Warrior Project. Constance E. Visor, Decatur. Constance E. Visor, 69, of Decatur, passed away on Wednesday, April 20th, 2016, in her home. A family memorial service will be held at a later date. Memorials are suggested to the donor's choice. Levi D. Beachy, Arthur. Levi D. Beachy, 76, of Arthur, Illinois, passed away at 9 o'clock a.m. on Thursday, April 21st, 2016, at his residence in Arthur. Funeral services will be held at 9 o'clock a.m. on Sunday, April 24th, 2016, at Central Wood LLC, Edwards Funeral Home in Arcola is assisting with the arrangements. Josephine Henderson in Pena. Josephine McLeod Henderson, 87, of Pena, died Friday, April 22nd, 2016. Mass will be at 10 a.m. on Wednesday in St. Patrick's Catholic Church in Pena. Visitation will be 5 to 7 p.m. Tuesday at the McCracken Dean Funeral Home in Pena. Burial will be at the Calvary Cemetery in Pena. Memorials to the Assumption Public Library. Shirley J. O'Brien of Decatur. Shirley J. O'Brien, 84, of Decatur, died on Thursday, April 21st, 2016. Funeral services will be held at 11 a.m. Monday, April 25th, at the Brindlinger and Earl Funeral Home in Decatur, with visitation 1 hour prior to services at the funeral home. Burial will be in Macon County Memorial Park, Harristown, Illinois. In lieu of flowers, memorials may be made to DMH Hospice. Charles E. Chuck Streety, Jr. of Decatur. Charles E. Chuck Streety, Jr., 80, of Decatur, passed away Wednesday, April 20th, 2016, in Decatur Memorial Hospital. Funeral liturgy to celebrate Chuck's life will be at 1 p.m. on Monday, April 25th, 2016, in Graceland Fairlawn Funeral Home. Private burial will be in Graceland Cemetery. In lieu of flowers, memorials may be directed to Cancer Care Specialists of Central Illinois. And continuing with local news, from Charleston, EIU ROTC commemorates anniversary. Tim David was happy to return to his alma mater Saturday, recalling the inaugural year of a university ROTC program and relishing the chance to try to help break a world record, too. The Chicago resident and 1982 graduate of Eastern Illinois University joined university ROTC cadets and others for a run and walk near the university's campus pond. ROTC and JROTC units across the country took part in runs Saturday to try to break a world record for the number of people taking part in a running event. "I love what they're doing here," said David, who was a cadet in the EIU Panther Battalion ROTC when it first started the year in 1981. He later entered the Army and retired as a lieutenant colonel. David said it was the news of the world record attempt that drew him to the event. More than 70 people took part in the EIU run, mostly university ROTC cadets, but also 7 members of the Mattoon High School JROTC and a few others. The unit had been planning the event since last summer, and it was also to commemorate the 100th anniversary of the ROTC program and the 35th anniversary of the EIU Battalion, said Jasmine Winters, its public relations officer. She said she was pleased that the commemorative run ended up also being a chance for ROTC units to pull together in a unified effort. "That's what the Army is," Winters said. "I don't have to know you to help you out." She said she wasn't sure when it would be known if the record was broken. The mark was set in 2012 in the Philippines with 209,000 runners taking part. The cadets and some of the other runners participated in the 5K run, with the route including some of the campus streets in addition to the Panther Trail at the pond. There was an option of a shorter walk. EIU student Janelle Schwinard, a Charleston native, said she joined in the run because she has a friend in the ROTC program. She said she enjoyed that it included a world record-breaking attempt. "Anything to encourage the program," she said. "It definitely adds another element to it." Marissa Clampett of Rantoul, who graduated from EIU last year, also has a friend in ROTC and said she wanted to support the program and the record try. Participants who weren't in ROTC paid a $24 entry fee, and the money went to an ROTC club that helps support the program's activities. And another article from Charleston on the local page. Stewardship earns retired EIU professor award. If it weren't for the work of the group to which Larry Thorson belongs, many natural areas around Coles County probably would be overrun with exotic plant species. Likewise, a lot of people think that the group that does that work wouldn't be here to do it if it weren't for Thorson. More than 20 years ago, he was volunteering with a Champaign County organization that helped preserve natural areas. "It sparked my interest in doing the same thing around here," he said. Contacting members of the Illinois Nature Conservancy led to the creation of the Embera Volunteer Stewards, which Thorson still leads. Almost every Saturday morning from spring to fall, a half dozen volunteers make their way to woodlands and prairies to remove plants that aren't really supposed to be there. Thorson, who was named one of the year's Jefferson Award winners in part because of the stewardship work, said the idea is to give a chance to plant species that are native to Illinois. "These are exotics," he said of the plants the group works to eradicate. "They come from outside North America. They have no natural enemies. They spread much too easily and inhibit the growth of natives." Kent Macy, a biologist and longtime member of the stewardship group, was one of the people who nominated Thorson for the award. He said Thorson diligently tracks projects at more than a dozen sites and always knew where to go and what to do next. "Larry is not one to seek attention or brag about anything he does, but I believe he has done more than enough to deserve a Jefferson Award," Macy said. Thorson's background isn't in biology or another natural science. He's a retired Eastern Illinois University political science professor and said his passion about nature began when he moved to his rural Coles County home in 1973. "I began enjoying the woodlands," he said. "I gradually understood where my main interest was." And it was just a few years after the move that Thorson was drawn to another interest of the natural area. He said he started to notice birds, and that led to involvement in activities that were also mentioned in his Jefferson Award nominations. For more than 25 years, Thorson has taken part in 2 organized bird counts. His participation in what came about because of his own time as a bird watcher. In 1989, he saw an announcement about a spring bird count and how the state agency organizing it needed someone to lead the effort in Cumberland County. He's done it ever since. Then, 9 years ago, he and his wife, Ruth Riegel, started a Christmas season bird count as part of the National Audubon Society effort. It started with counts in Coles and Cumberland counties, and Clark County was added in 2014. It's known as the Barry Hunt Memorial Bird Count, in honor of the late EIU professor and area bird expert, who was also one of the founding members of the Embera Volunteer Stewards. The bird counts are mostly for recreation and to help birders become more able to recognize birds by sight and sound, Thorson said. Still, scientists also use the information from them, on a limited basis, to study bird populations and movements, he said. Thorson sees the stewardship as a success. "If the work stopped, the natural areas would be overrun again in a few years," he said. As for the Jefferson Award, Thorson said he was completely humbled by his selection. He thinks those working with disadvantaged people are more worthy. A photograph accompanies this article showing Larry Thorson, who is showing a piece of bush honeysuckle, a plant species not native to Illinois, which he had removed at Woodyard Conservation Area near Charleston. And from the work pages, Hickory Point Bank forms first Illinois Ag Group Division. From Decatur, Hickory Point Bank is proud to announce the formation of First Illinois Ag Group. First Illinois Ag Group provides a full range of professional agricultural services, including farm management, farm brokerage, farm auctions, and farm appraisals. "Our Agricultural Services Department has a history of service that spans more than 100 years," said Jim Schroeder, Senior Vice President of the new division. "First Illinois Ag Group positions us to serve clients for the next 100 years by making us a one-stop shop for farmland owners. Farm management, real estate sales and purchases, Rural Appraisals and Consulting, formerly conducted under Schroeder Huber LLC, will now be provided as part of the First Illinois Ag Group division. Our staff remains the same, as does our goal to keep our clients well informed, put their needs first, and work to maximize the value of their farm investment, said Bruce Huber, First Illinois Ag Group Senior Vice President. We will continue to provide close personal attention to our clients in order to better understand their goals and meet their needs. We will continue to use our experience and industry expertise to provide the most comprehensive line of agricultural services. And under Achievements, Hendricks named Agent of the Year from Decatur. Ryan Hendricks, a registered representative for Mutual of Omaha, has earned Agent of the Year for 2015. The award, presented by the Mutual of Omaha, Illinois Division Office, recognizes the registered representative with the top first-year sales commissions. Ryan of Shelbyville has experience and knowledge in helping clients develop strategies to meet their goals. And in an article related to an earlier article we read this morning from Clinton, Clinton officials worry about nuclear plant's future. Article by Kevin Barlow, a Lee News Service writer. Clinton Chamber of Commerce Director Marion Brassard thinks the time has arrived for DeWitt County residents to change their mindset from wondering if the Clinton Power Station will close to when it will close. Earlier this month, Exelon announced the nuclear power plant is committed to operating through May 31, 2017. But the plant's future is up in the air after that. We know it's going to happen eventually, Brassard said. We hope that it won't have a premature closure. That's the problem right now. We know they aren't ready to go, and the community isn't ready for them to go. We have all been kind of not thinking about this, but now it is blatantly clear that we have to begin thinking about it. It's going to be a big impact on our community, almost as much as when Revere left. The Corning Revere plant opened in 1950, but closed in July 1999. About 350 workers lost their jobs. Of the 692 Exelon employees of the power plant, about 200 live in DeWitt County, said company officials. Those are good jobs and will leave the community, said Clinton City Administrator Tim Folliwell. You can't replace those jobs because many of them are specific to the nuclear power industry. You can't just build a new one to replace those. Exelon officials said an analysis by the state of Illinois concludes closure of the plant would result in the loss of almost 1,900 direct and indirect jobs. In October 1970, Illinois Power Company officials announced plans to build a $429 million power plant with a 5,000-acre cooling lake. Early estimates placed the cost at about $500 million. By the time it went online in September 1987, the price tag was estimated at $4.25 billion, making it the second most expensive nuclear reactor in the United States at that time. Ruth Stauffer, executive director of the DeWitt County Development Council, said more than 100 homes could be on the market if the plant closes. The plant has always been scheduled to close in 2026, and that's not that far away, she said, referring to expiration of the plant's current reactor operating license that was issued April 17, 1987, and will expire September 29, 2026. We are going to lose the people who have come here specifically because of the nuclear plant. And then when you have more than 100 homes that are empty, think of the ramifications on property taxes and local sales throughout the county. It will be a dramatic effect. Officials said the premature retirement of the Clinton Power Station also would have a huge impact on local government and school finances. For tax year 2014, Clinton's tax payments to local taxing bodies were $13 million, said Brett Nauman, communications manager at the Clinton Power Station. The Clinton Community School District received $8.3 million, accounting for 53% of its property tax revenue. To lose the Clinton power station would be devastating to us, to say the least, said Clinton Superintendent Kurt Nettles. Nettles is in his first year at Clinton, and before taking the job, he knew the upcoming risks due to frequent discussions with former superintendent Jeff Holmes. If the plant closes and we lose tax revenue, then what we will do is present options to our community and give them some scenarios, said Nettles. We will say this is what the loss of the tax dollars will do to our programs and staff, and here is the tax rate if you want to keep this or that. My hope is that we will land somewhere in the middle between what we have now and what we will lose. Other taxing districts at risk include Richland Community College District that received $1.1 million in 2014, DeWitt County, $2.2 million, and the Vespasian Warner Public Library in Clinton, $446,928. The city of Clinton would lose $84,000 annually for fire protection services, but the community would be affected in other ways, too. The company does so much charity and in-kind work that it would really hurt a lot of the local agencies and organizations, said Folliwell. It's not just the company, it's the employees themselves. They are very good at donating their time and money for good causes. In 2014, for example, Clinton Power Station employees raised more than $100,000 for local organizations and sponsored blood drives for local hospitals, and said Clinton Police Chief Ben Lowers. The plant employs a large number of veterans that have either fundraised or individually donated more than $40,000 to the Wounded Warrior Project since 2013, he said. These employees are highly skilled, civic-minded people that take pride in our community and band together when things get tough. These individuals spend their money at local businesses and restaurants, too. The potential closure of the plant was a factor that Save-A-Lot grocery store owner Dave Jackson considered before he announced plans to build a new store in Clinton. It gives me cause for concern, but it didn't stop my plans, he said. I'm optimistic opening a new store is the right thing to do, but the loss of the plant would have a major impact on every aspect of this community. They have been an extremely good neighbor and have been a great support to the local economy. It's a day I never hope will come, added County Board Chairman Dave Newberg. It's a tremendous asset, and it is great for jobs and people spending money in DeWitt County and our neighboring counties. Everyone would suffer, and the school districts would take a big hit, so we have to do everything we can to make sure this remains in operation. We have to fight this, and I believe our residents will do that. And that ends our reading today from the Decatur Herald and Review for April 25th, 2016. This is Wendy Bauer, and I look forward to reading with you again soon.